Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great time at church. Worship was amazing, and get to do this biblical stuff of sending people out to plant churches. I feel like we're back in like the New Testament days and sending people out, and we're a part of that. It's amazing. So awesome. So God's going to do great things through you guys, Hannah and Leslie. It's going to be so good. So today we're in a new series. We're beginning brand new today. You can see on the screen, Born to Rule. It's about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit rules in our life and rules through us. And I'm really excited about this. I've used this word a couple times, and it may be like, I don't know if it's like this ginormous, but I'm believing it's going to be an epic series. So I don't know, just epic. So like, I don't know. So that's how I'm viewing it. You can join me if you want, but it's going to be amazing because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Probably one of my favorite topics to talk about is the Holy Spirit because of the impact of my revelation of who he is in my life and how I feel him in my life and how I just am led by the Spirit. And so I just love to talk about it. So this is a series for me. It's epic for me. So welcome to church. Hope you like it. But Born to Rule, we want to see how the Holy Spirit rules in our life and rules through us. And so I'm really glad you're here. I want to just open with prayer if I can. And I would like you to do me a favor. And just, if you would, just place your hand kind of on your chest here just to represent that the Holy Spirit is going to stir inside of you for the next 4 weeks. That over the next 4 weeks, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, he's going to move and you're going to experience him in a brand new way. So Father, just in a way of just saying, Lord, inside of us, your Spirit is there. Lord, I pray that as we go through this series that we would get a fresh revelation of who you are inside of us. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be afraid to hear what you have to say, that we wouldn't put up walls and all those things, God, that we would just be open to hear. Lord, I pray that this series would be epic because the Holy Spirit is epic when we get a fresh view of him. So Lord, just use this season, use this time, move in our lives. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen with me. Amen, amen. Over the next 4 weeks today, I'm going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Next week, my wife, Harriet, is preaching. You're going to love it. She's preaching on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it'll be great. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Now, I just let you know, I won't be here next Sunday. She's repping on my behalf, and she'll be crushing it. I have the opportunity to go to Tampa, Florida, to preach at Pastor Matt Blair's church, and so I'll be there. And interesting enough, they are starting a series next Sunday on the Holy Spirit, and so Pastor Matt said, I know you love to preach about the Holy Spirit, so come down here and kick off our series. And so I'll be down there and talking about the Holy Spirit. And while Harriet is here talking about the Holy Spirit, it'll be great. The following week, I'm going to talk about the warfare of the Spirit, spiritual warfare. And just FYI, that's the week of Halloween. And if you don't know me, I think Halloween is closer to Halloween. And so I might have something just to tie to some spiritual warfare. That's all I'm saying, you know. If you love demons and you love, you know, witches and all that, you're going to be a little uncomfortable. I'm just telling you. That's all. So, but listen, I hope the demons are always uncomfortable in our church. Amen to that? So the week after that, we'll tame it down with the gifts of the Spirit, and it'll be fantastic. Today, my sermon title is kind of a funny sermon title. It's called Don't Roll the Dice. And let me explain to you how I get to this, and then it'll actually make more sense as the sermon goes. So I came to this one time when I was in a casino. We were on a cruise, and I went into the casino. Now, some of you are like, what? My pastor went in a casino? Yeah, I did. But listen, don't judge me. I know some of you have bought lottery tickets. Same thing, you know? Amen, you know? And you're hoping I'm going to win. You're not going to win the lottery any more than I won something in the casino. You don't win. So let me clarify something before I give my illustration. Don't go to a casino thinking you're going to win, all right? You're not going to win. They design them for you to lose. You're going to be a loser. You're going to walk out a loser. You're going to be depressed, and you're going to be broke when you walk out of a casino, all right? So I'm just telling you that up front. Don't go to any of your houses and friends and say, our pastor is a gambler. I'm not a gambler. But I went into this casino once, and I did bet 20 bucks, so I'm just saying. So whatever, but I went to the craps table and listen, don't gamble. I'm just telling you, you won't win. So I put it on the number 8. I was like, you know, thinking, you know, God's going to move on the number 8, you know. He doesn't do that, but no more than when you pray for your football team to win. He doesn't do that either, you know. So, I mean, I pray anyway. So I put it on the number 8, and so I was thinking, you know, like, you got to have the right wrist movement with the dice, and then I start blowing on it, you know, I was like, oh, I'm rolling that 8, you know, and just as I was getting ready to release it, this guy steps up and he goes, don't roll the dice. And I thought, is that God speaking, you know, like, can I have my $20 back? And I was so nervous over the $20. I was like, I'm going to lose my $20, but then I was excited, maybe this is the one time, you know, that you roll the 8, and so he said, you look like a lucky guy. I was like, all right. Kind of getting my swagger in with my dice now. And he says, I'm going to put down a bunch of money. And he pulled out these black chips. They were $100 chips and started putting them all over this table. I'm guessing $2,000 or $3,000 he put down. I started sweating for him. I was sweating over 20. And I was like, all right. So I said, he's like, kiss him. I'm like, let's go, baby. And so I rolled those dice, and in one roll, this man lost thousands of dollars. I lost 20. Have I told you not to gamble? Here's my thought, and I'm trying to tie this together. Don't leave the important things of life up to chance. Don't leave your purpose up to chance. Don't leave your marriage, your business, your parenting up to chance. When God has given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to guide us, to guard us, to govern us, to give us the wisdom that we need to live our life. So don't roll the dice with your life when you have the Holy Spirit that can guide you. Amen? Amen. So that was a funny tie-in. It'll actually make sense in a moment again. Hey, I'm going to take us to the book of Acts, chapter 1, looking at the first 9 verses to begin with. And just to give you a little what's going on, Luke wrote the book of Luke, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So he wrote the book of Luke, and then he wrote the book of Acts. And so he ties these two books together in his first 3 verses. And so he wrote about the ministry of Jesus in the book of Luke, and then in the book of Acts, he writes about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so he ties them together in these first 3 verses, and so let me begin here. It says, in my former book, Theophilus. Now, Theophilus, I really don't know who he is. I did a little research, couldn't find anything out about him other than the fact his name means friend of God. And so I was like, hey, cool name. But friend of God, and he wrote this book kind of to him that got published on a broad spectrum. Obviously, we're reading it now. So in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now, remember, he had chosen 12 apostles. At this point, one of them, Judas, had already betrayed him, and he wasn't with them. And so the 11 apostles were here. Verse 3 says, after his suffering, so this is after Jesus had gone to the cross, died for mankind's sins, then he was resurrected back to life, and it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them, these apostles and many others, and what happened? He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And so he had to prove to these apostles that he came back to life, and so he spent time with them. It says he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The 40 days is kind of important in the fact that this was 40 days after Passover when Jesus had had suffered and died. So 40 days prior was Passover, his death. Now we're 40 days. And in 10 days from then is when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to come on them at what is called Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. Penta means 50. And so we're in this 10-day period when Jesus was with them right at the end, and he then ascended to heaven. 10 days, they're supposed to wait until the day of Pentecost. And so that's why it tells us 40 days are there. So after he was raised, he appeared to them for 40 days. Verse 4 says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, and he said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so today we're taking that thought, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, knowing that God wants us all to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus gave them instructions though during this period of time, and he said that he is going to go to the Father and he will send them the promise of the Holy Spirit. But he said to them, I need you to wait right here. I need you to not do anything important. I don't want you to start your ministry until you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to do anything in your own strength, in your own power, in your own methods. Jesus is like, please stay right here, park here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then out of the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do the things God is calling you to do. And so he's saying, stay. Everybody say, wait. He wanted them to wait. So Jesus instructed them this. And so the disciples were gathered around him, it says in verse 6, and they started having questions for him about the Holy Spirit. Good questions. And any of us would have questions. Today I'm going to go through a couple questions about the Holy Spirit. But their questions probably varied about the Holy Spirit. They're probably like, you know, we don't understand what you mean. Can you explain this to us? And so one of the questions was about end times. They were like, when the Holy Spirit comes, is this when the end times comes, the final judgment comes? Is this when, you know, you wrap it all up and you restore the kingdom of God back into Jerusalem? Is this your plan? And so they asked this question when they were gathered around him. They said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And so Jesus responds to them in verse 7. He says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set about by his own authority. And what he's saying is no one's going to know when the end time comes. So if anyone ever prophesies, hey, the end is going to come, they don't know. Have you ever seen that? You know, in like every, you know, about every 5 years, someone comes out big, they think they know when the end's going to come, and they start telling you on this particular day, and, you know, and some crazy people get all freaked out about it, and listen, don't. And I tell you what's going to happen is because next year is 2020, somebody's going to come up with an end time prophecy next year when it's 2020 and they're going to have 2020 something. When they ought to be prophesying about churches being birthed, they're going to tell you something's going to be ending. And when you hear it, I want you to go, our pastor said, that's a bunch of nonsense. Okay, so nobody knows. And that's what he was telling them. Nobody knows this stuff. And listen, you don't have to worry about the end times when you're preoccupied with what the Holy Spirit is doing today. Amen? So he says in, you know, in verse 7 there, nobody knows the times, the dates. Verse 8, he says, but. And he's shifting their mindset. He's shifting them from end times to today. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so just connect these two concepts, power and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he comes on you, he brings his power to live, power to overcome, power to do the ministry. It's the power, it's the anointing of God that comes into your life for all that he's called you to. And so he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And then he lists four areas, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so he's teaching them at this moment that by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you will carry the gospel starting in Jerusalem and moving to Judea, which is like a county. Samaria is like the next county over, and then to the ends of the earth. And so we made our series graphic kind of represent Acts 1:8 here. And so you can see the series graphic. And so we've got the circles, and so the Holy Spirit represented by the dove, and that the Holy Spirit wants to rule in your life. And as he does, he'll rule through your life. And we'll take the message all the way from Wilmington to Providence to the next circle and to the country and then to the ends of the world. That's what we're called to do. Amen? And so I like the graphic. It's awesome. So you ought to put it on your social media and post it for people to come to church next week, and he'll hear it, preach. It'll be great. That's what you should do with that. All right, so now, spreading the gospel. He tells them to wait. And then in verse 9, after this, it says, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And so at this point, Jesus had ascended into heaven, and they're in this waiting period. They're supposed to wait. They're not supposed to do anything important. They're not supposed to make any big decisions. They're supposed to just wait for the Holy Spirit to come before they go out of the upper room and begin the ministry. But instead, a few verses later, we find the disciples decided to do something else. And so what did they decide to do? Well, they decided to make a ginormous decision and pick a new apostle. And they're like, hey, there's 11 of us. One of them's gone. We're the gang of 12. Let's go ahead and pick somebody and just jump into this. I don't know. I'm just thinking that that's a pretty significant decision that Jesus said to wait on. You need the decision helper of the Holy Spirit inside of you. But they didn't. They're like, hey, let's just jump into this thing. Let's go for it. And so what they did is, it says in verse 21, it says, therefore it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belonged. So they rolled the dice. They cast lots. They're like, hey, we don't know what God wants us to do. Holy Spirit isn't here. Who's it gonna be? That's what casting lots was. They're like, hey, if it rolls between 1 and 6, it's gonna be Matthias. If it's between 7 and 12, it's gonna be the other guy. And so they rolled the dice. And I was just thinking when I read that, that Jesus said, don't make any decisions. Don't rely on your own methods. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And when I was reading that, I was thinking, well, whatever happened to Matthias? You know, they picked him by rolling dice, whatever. Well, there's no information about this man ever again in Scripture. It's like he didn't exist after that time. That doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He may have gone off and done something amazing, but he didn't write Scripture. There was nothing about him from that point on. And I'm just started thinking, just maybe if they had not jumped ahead and rolled the dice, maybe God might have had someone else for them. Maybe there was someone else that God was developing to come along behind that they could have selected to be one of the apostles. Maybe one that would go ahead and write half of the New Testament. Maybe one that would come along, his name was Saul, has a conversion on a road where he sees Jesus and he becomes Paul and becomes the most influential apostle of all. Maybe if they had waited instead of rolling dice, they would have picked somebody else. Maybe in your life, you've relied on your own methods and your own ways and your own history to go, well, I've always done it this way. Maybe if you rely on the Holy Spirit, he would speak to you about your businesses and your marriages and everything else going in your life. I think we all need to not roll the dice until we've heard from the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. Amen? So, these disciples were asking all these questions, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to Jesus. And so I want to answer some of the questions that maybe I think they may have asked Jesus. And so the first question I think they may have asked Jesus is, who is the Holy Spirit? So who is this? Like, we know you. Who is the Holy Spirit? So the answer would be is that the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus was God in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit is God's spirit. It's his spirit. He is God. And I think if we could get a revelation that God, now just think about who he is. When we say God, creator, all-powerful, all-knowing, I mean, you can't even come up with enough words to describe God. That God chose to put his spirit inside of us. We carry, host, the presence of God inside of us. When I stop and think about that for a little while, it starts changing the way I process life. Because now everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit is with me. And he's inside of me. He is talking to me. He is leading me. Everywhere I go, it's amazing. I remember when we were in high school, we used to do this little skit to scare the high school students. And so I was leading a high school youth group, and so we wanted to, like, you know, show them a way to, so they wouldn't go party and they wouldn't go, you know, smoke dope and stuff. And so so we were going to scare them out of it. And so what we did is we taught about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with you all the time. And so then we'd do this illustration, this little skit with them. We'd say, hey, we would get somebody to walk alongside somebody to represent the Holy Spirit. And we'd say, well, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit goes. You can't go anywhere that he doesn't go. And then we'd say, so when you go to that party and you reach out to grab that joint, his hand is on that joint with you. And we'd be like, oh, I can't have that. So we'd scare people with it. It was great, you know, awesome. Great youth ministry right there. So let me flip it the other side of that, though. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he's leading from inside of you, which means that you're never alone. So if you feel discouraged, he's there to lift you. When you feel challenged, he's there to encourage you. When you feel like hurting in some way, he's there to comfort you, because he's always with you. When we grasp the fact that God's Spirit and everything that he can do is inside of you, available for you and to work through you, it changes the way we operate as a Christian. Amen? So who is the Holy Spirit? It is God's Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? Maybe they would ask that. Maybe the disciples say, well, where is he? We can't see him. And so in Romans 8, it teaches us that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside of you. So he is inside of you. Just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give your bodies by the same Spirit living within you. The Spirit lives in you. And so I have this little graphic just to kind of explain a little bit where the Holy Spirit is. And so you're made up of three parts. So if you're a believer, you have your outer man, your inner man, and the Holy Spirit. If you're not a believer, then you have two parts. You have the outer man and the inner man, but the Holy Spirit hasn't come to life inside of you yet. And so, but these three parts for a believer, the outer man, which would be, you know, what we see. People, you know, are, you know, I see you all. Like, I see your glasses, and, you know, I see your shirt, and I see you. I see your hair, some of your hairs. Jody, I love you. I can't see all your hair. I'm just kidding. Hey, can I take one moment? Hey, listen, Jody Reif is a man of God, and we celebrated 30 years of being clean and sober last week, and I just love you. I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. You're an amazing man of God. He leads Celebrate Recovery, which is a powerful ministry to help people break off, you know, habits and strongholds in their life. And if you have any need for that kind of help, see Jody. He'd be glad to help you through that. I love you. I'm proud of you. I can't see your hair, though. That's all I'm saying. Kidding. Outer man, inner man. The outer man is what, you know, the physical body. The inner man, that's your thoughts, that's your emotions, that's your personality, that's the inside of you. And then, though, when you give your life to Christ, you say yes to Jesus Christ, then you become a new person. And what that means is that Holy Spirit comes to life. His Spirit is now inside of you, and now you are a brand new person. You're not the same person you were before. You were just two parts, now you're three parts, and you're a new creation, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Amen? So They might ask then, after that, okay, we see where he is, but what does the Holy Spirit do? And so in John 14, 16, it says, these are Jesus' words, but he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, I like this thought, another helper, because while they were with Jesus, he was their helper. He had all the answers they needed. He had all the support they needed. And now he's saying, I'm going to give you another one. So it's not Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. He said, he will give you another helper who will never leave you. He, the helper, is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The Greek word for helper, I like that our worship team taught us a Hebrew word today. And so I thought if they could teach you a new word, I can too. So they taught you the name of Jesus in Hebrew. I'm going to teach you what helper is in the Greek, which refers to the Holy Spirit. And so in the Greek, it is parakletos. Now, I may have pronounced that incorrectly because there's a little slash above the E, and I don't really know what that means. When I see that, I think of a little, you know, bird, a parakeet, but it's not. It's a parakletos. And so, but what parakletos means, broken into two parts, para means alongside, and kletos means to come. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he comes into you, he comes alongside you to be your helper in your life. He is the one that becomes your comforter, your peacemaker, your advocate, your counselor, your intercessor, your guide. He speaks to you, he empowers you, he gives you the gifts of the Spirit. He develops the characters of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. He is all we need. He's our helper. Amen? Amen. That's why he's here. God inside of us to help us, to empower us, to rule in us. And so they might ask him then, well, how does this work? How does the Holy Spirit help us? If he's our helper, how does he help us? And so the answer to that is that he helps us when we rely on him, when we allow him to lead us in every part of our life. Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Let us follow. Now, I will let you know that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never controls you. He's not going to take over your life. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to throw you on the ground. He's not going to, like, about the time you're getting ready to say something you shouldn't say, he's not going to reach out and grab your tongue and say, stop that. It would be helpful if he would every now and then. He's a gentleman. So what it says, though, is that we have to, you know, follow the Spirit's leading. In other words, he's prompting, he's talking, he is leading us, and we have to submit to that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. And what I would like to say is kind of like we need to learn to live from the inside out and not the outside in. The inside out. So back to this graphic for a moment. There's kind of a little battle going on for the inner man. So what the battle is that's where your mind is. There's a life group we have called Battlefield of the Mind. It's a great book by Joyce Myers, and she's discussing this concept of the battlefield. And what is the battlefield? Well, there's outside influences that try to direct how you feel, how you think, how you act, and trying to influence that inner man. If you're an outside-in kind of person, then you are controlled by circumstances in your life. So if someone offends you, then you get bitter. You know, if like for me, I deal with discouragement. That's kind of like one of my little things. Like I have to overcome discouragement. It's kind of funny because my personality and my spiritual gift is faith and hope. And so like, but you know, sometimes your greatest strength, the enemy comes at it against it with, you know, discouragement. So, you know, that's what I deal with. So like, you know, anything kind of negative at times can grab me and just drop me in the dumps real quick. Now, I'm quick to, though, start thinking about, let's say, for instance, someone says something negative about me or a sermon or, what you know, whatever. And so from the outside in, then that discouragement would grab strength in me and it would, you know, mess me up and I would start going, oh, my gosh, you know, life is bad. That would be outside in. But if I'm an inside out, when something happens like that, instead of me responding to what happened outside of me, I look inside to the Holy Spirit that says, I am your comforter. I am your strength. I am your peace. I am the one that gives you encouragement. And so suddenly I need to learn to live from the inside out so that what the Spirit is saying, He is leading me. And so now I'm being led and living by the Spirit and not by my circumstances. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's how He wants to work in our life from the inside out. That's why when we started the sermon, I said, put your hand on your chest because that's where the Holy Spirit is. Inside of us, kind of representative. Maybe one of the things you might want to do is when you feel something, you know, sparking in your life, you might want to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And just as a principle, maybe until you learn to follow Him, you know, a little quicker, you might just stop and go, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? You know, like, speak to me. Are you directing me this way? And let the Holy Spirit lead your life. Amen? So last question I think they might ask is, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so baptism means to be fully immersed. That's what the word baptism means, fully immersed. So baptism of the Holy Spirit means to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. So it's really that simple. It's just being fully immersed, fully engaged, fully led by the Holy Spirit in our life. I like that Jesus, the way He said it when He was talking to His disciples, He said that John baptizes with water, and then in a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus compared spirit baptism to water baptism. And I like that Jesus just kind of connected those two thoughts together because we can learn a little bit from the water baptism, which is probably a little more recognized, what it is, what it means, and kind of tie some of that to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so if you understand that water baptism is a public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ, it's where we, you know, and I like we did water baptisms at the beach recently, and the way we do it, we believe that baptism means to be immersed. And so we take someone and we fully immerse them underwater to represent baptism, immersed. Now, underwater represents the death of Christ. As they're coming out, it represents the resurrection of Christ. And so what it is saying, and someone is baptized, they're saying, hey, everybody, you need to know I'm fully immersed into the life of Jesus Christ. That's my life. That's who I identify. I want everybody to know it. That's what water baptism is all about. Immersed, being fully immersed. He compares that then to baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, simple enough, means there's a moment where we say, I identify to the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm fully immersing my life in Him. I'm submitting to His ways, and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so it's just that moment where we recognize Him in our life and say, yes, I want to be baptized. I want to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. I want Him to lead my life. It's kind of that simple, to be honest with you. I think sometimes in our circles of churches, we've put up walls about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because sometimes people have made it weird, and the Holy Spirit's not weird. I love that Jesus, He didn't even explain it in depth. He's like somewhat understood. He's like, everybody understands about water baptism. You need to be filled in the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And He just went on with it. Kind of like, it's not weird. We're the ones that make it weird. It's not weird. He just wants us to accept, fully embrace, and immerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit and have a moment where we say, yes, Lord, I want that in my life. Amen. I want that in my life. I want the Holy Spirit leading my life. I want to, when I'm preaching up here, I want His anointing. I want His power at work in me to help my words not be my words, but to be God's words into your life. But you need that in your business. You need that in your marriage. You need that for ministry. And that's why I believe He told them to wait until the Holy Spirit came. They went ahead and rolled the dice. And I want to say to you, don't roll the dice with your life. Amen. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so at this moment, I just want to pray for you. And if you're here today and you just want to say, well, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I'm just going to pray you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so if you just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You sent Your Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And at this moment that we would call baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's just a recognition that You're there and we want to immerse ourselves in that life, in the life of the Spirit. We want You to lead us. We want You to guide us. We want you to comfort us when we need it. We want you to direct us. We want you to anoint us. So would you just say this prayer with me? Dear God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit today. I submit to the Spirit today. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to rule in my life. Would you refresh me today in the Spirit? Would you guide me in the Spirit? Thank you, Father, for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit today. And with every head bowed, there may be people here that have never met Jesus as their Savior. And so I'm just going to ask all of us to say this quick prayer together. And if you've never prayed to meet Jesus, would you take this moment with everyone else and pray this prayer? Let's all pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died for my sins. He rose back to life. He is the Son of God. I receive him as my Savior. Today, all my sins are forgiven. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Would you give Jesus, give the Holy Spirit a clap?